Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. We are still in Romans chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles with you or your device, you can look on the Bible app. Chapter 10, title of the message is, How Beautiful Are Your Feet? And stand for the reading of the Word of God, if you are able. Starting at verse 11. For the Scripture says, Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Father, we just pray as we come before You, Lord, we lay our lives before You. We ask, Lord, for the cleansing of these courts, this temple. Lord, that You would speak forth Your word and truth, and our ears would receive what Your Spirit would speak to each of us. Bless us, Lord, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. How beautiful are your feet? Many, many years ago, when the moon was higher and I was spryer, my wife at the time, and I were just hanging out a lot together. And I said, hey, let's go somewhere. I don't remember if it was my idea or her idea, but she wanted to go to Oakland or I wanted to go to Oakland. But it was apple trees and stuff like that and a canyon. It was pretty. And we went there and then afterwards, I took her to dinner, and then the discussion came. Does this mean we're dating now, she said. I said, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, she goes, well, you took me out to dinner. I go, yeah, that's true. And then, as she says it, I then gave her the riot act of telling her things that I don't fully remember, but she said something like, I said, okay, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John between us. Keep your distance, right? Something like that. The rules, she calls it the rules. But what's funny is that when we got to her apartment, because it was a discussion between her and her roommate. So is this a date or not? So she wanted to be filled in on this. Is this a date? And we said, okay, this is a date. And then I said to her, I said, my pa always told me, he said, when you find a girl, you got to make sure of two things. One, that she's got good teeth and good feet. I've already seen your teeth. Your teeth are good. They're straight. They're white. They're clean. You take care of them. But now I have to see your feet. And she was sitting perpendicular to me and her feet were sticking towards me. Her roommate was in the kitchen. I pulled off her shoes and her socks. She didn't really want me to do that, but I did it. I said, I have to do this. If we're going to date, we have to do this. So I looked at her feet, and lo and behold, yes, they were cute little feet, clean, well taken care of. So the rest is history. We began dating and eventually got married. Again, the story is about how beautiful are your feet. Now, we started off with verse 11, and let's just kind of backtrack a little bit. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him, Jesus Christ, will not be put to shame. Remember, that word means if you put your trust in Him, He won't let you down. You won't be deceived. He is the one that has saved us. We can place our confidence in Him. He will not let us down. It's not about another person. It's not about a church. It's not about a religion. It's not about anything but Jesus Christ. It's Him. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Name of the Lord, which means all about Him, His characteristics, His attributes, His works and deeds, His words. It's all about Him, Jesus Christ. Now, in Ephesians, bless you, Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but it kind of, bear with me, but it's a good correlation to what we're talking about here. Therefore, remember, chapter 2, verse 11 says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, the Jews, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near to by the blood of Jesus Christ, not becoming a Jew, but becoming in faith, even though we were uncircumcised. Why? Because we put our trust in Jesus Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, a church, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and those who were near, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So through Jesus Christ, He's broken down the middle wall of division between us. Before this, to get to God, you must first go through, if you will, the law of the Jews and become circumcised. Then you would have access to the temple. But still, being a Gentile, you would still be on the outer court. But now, with a division wall, when Jesus Christ came, though, He's abolished that wall. So that there's no separation now. Why? Because it's not a Jew or a Greek, it's a church. Okay? That's what Christ has done. He's brought peace now. Peace between not only the Jew and the Greek, or the Gentile, but peace with God. You and I don't know why I keep tripping over that, but I do. You guys can start making wagers whether I'm going to fall or not. No, I just need to walk around it, Travis. Don't worry about it. It's kind of dumb on my part. So He's brought peace to us and a place in Christ that now there's no enmity between us and God. God has brought forth peace between us. You understand that. Now, if you look at verse 14, how then shall they call on Him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That word preacher means to officiate as a herald. Paul uses it in Titus. He says, but in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Same root word, preaching, preacher. So now, to come to faith, we see something here. It's so that people will hear, that they will believe, but they will put their trust in the Lord and call on His name and what He has done. See where that goes there? Again, I'll go over it again. They need to hear, to believe, to put their trust in Him, and then to call upon Him. Pretty simple. Preach the gospel so that they hear, so they may believe, so that they may put their trust in Him and call on Him. There, you just heard the gospel in a nutshell. How to share it. You say, well, it's the preacher. Yeah. Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Well, now we see that what's sent is what? Missionaries, pastors, evangelists, right? That's how they are sent. And that's right. Some of us stay behind. Some are sent out. And some support and stay. Like right now, many of you are supporting this ministry. And we're getting out the gospel message. So it's part of all of us to do it together. But it's not necessarily just for, as they used to say, the professionals. It's not just about the preachers now. Why? Because if we look at that word also means one who proclaims openly to something which has been done. Now that word's used again in Mark. Remember the one that was demon possessed? He was in the tombs. Jesus delivered him from him, the demons, the legion. And then the man that was possessed wanted to be go with the Lord wherever he went. Wherever you go, I want to go with you. So when he begged, the demon-possessed man begged him to go with him, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim, same word as preacher. And all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. So see, we're all called to proclaim what Jesus has done for us. So see, it's the Holy Spirit that sends us out. All of us. We don't stay in here. We're not camping out here. We're not separating ourselves from the world. We walk amongst the people of the world. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But now he says, so now you're the light of the world. Wherever you go, you shine. You shine me. So are you ready, he would say, to proclaim the truth? Would you share the gospel so that they would hear, so that they would believe, so that they would trust and call on the name of the Lord? We make this big, hard thing about what to do. Why? Because we get scared. But see, the reality is this. What has the Lord done in your life? He's not asking you to be a great theologian. You don't need to memorize the whole Bible, though it's good to know what verses to use. But the simple fact is that it's what has God done in your life? What's different about you? What's changed in your life? That's what you share. Now, there is something else that needs to be understood here, though. As we are sent out, Jesus one time was sitting around with his disciples, and Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw all the multitudes. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So you say, yeah, those are the disciples. No. See, the disciples, if you will, the Lord used them to beget other disciples, who in turn beget other disciples, who beget other disciples, so that they were multiplying, not just because of the evangelists, not just because of the disciples, but because of what was happening in individual lives. People were coming alive. People saw the darkness and saw the light, and they went to the light. They saw what was different in other people's lives, and they wanted that. What do you have? How did you get this? How can I know him? Why are you always so calm? Why do you not get upset? Why do you not yell and cuss? Why? I don't get it. See, now, I want to show you something. How beautiful are your feet? Now, the interesting thing about feet in Scripture is the feet, if you will, is the direction your heart wants to go. Let me repeat that. Your feet in the Scripture is where your heart wants to go. It follows your heart. So the question is our feet, they stinky? They clean? Now, in Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8, it says, their feet, those that don't know the Lord, run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. There is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall know no peace. Now, we see something in the world right now, don't we? What's going on in the world. And there's no peace. there's this fear of war all over the place. Why? Because there's no peace. Because people are selfish. They're searching for an inner peace. They're searching for a worldly peace. They're searching for any peace except the peace that God offers. But you and I, we're different. It's like the psalmist says in 116, verses 7 and 9. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully for you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now, feet, again, show where the direction of your heart wants to go. And that's true, if you will, especially young guys, you know this, sports. It's one of those things, that one of the first things you teach somebody when they're throwing a baseball is point your feet at the target that you're throwing at. It's a simple thing. Where's your feet? And it doesn't matter if you're throwing a football, you're throwing a baseball, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you point your feet at your target. Now, it's true with golf, too. You're pointing your feet towards the target you want to go to. If the hole's there, I don't point my feet this way and look this way because I'm going the wrong way. I got to go towards the flag. Pitcher doesn't turn to the third baseman and pitch to the third baseman. No, even though his feet may go way to the third base, you'll notice it comes right back towards the catcher. Well, if you will, we're going to look at our feet now. Where is it directed? We just saw it. We understand something. We have something in each of us. What? Christ Jesus the Lord. And He has dealt bountifully with us. And He's been gracious towards us. But it's more to that. Because on the path that we are walking, He also desires to show us. To show us that path. In Psalm 16:11, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture here. Says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, the Lord's not hiding the path. He's showing us the path. Are we attentive to that? Are we listening? Are we watching? Not only that He shows us, He leads us. David says in Psalm 23, he says, He stores my soul, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for His reputation, for His character, for His deity, for His work, for His words. He's leading us. He also teaches us. In Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, it says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths, lead me in your truth, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. See, He's not hiding. He's not saying guess. He's not turning off the lights and going, hey, try to figure out where I am. It's not Marco Polo. Sometimes we feel that way. Where is the Lord? And we beg to hear His voice. But He shows us the way. He leads us. He teaches us. He also guards our feet. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. It's not asleep. He's watching out for you. Now, I know in my life, the Lord has protected me many a times from things I had no business being close to. And it wasn't until after I was away from it, I go, whoa, that was a dangerous situation. He guards you. But it goes back to, do we want to be guarded? Because trust me, if you want to step that way, you may step that way. But you'll be very broken afterwards. So knowing these things, that we can, again, understand that He wants to show us, lead us, teach us, and guard us, what do we do? Well, it's just like I said, where are your feet pointed? In Psalm 25:15, it says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net, out of the enemy's snare. It's my eyes focused on Him. Or, again, is it focused on what I want and what I think I need? And see, I think if we're honest with ourselves, that is usually our struggle. In His Word, He illuminates things, for it's a lamp unto my feet. We walk away from evil. Psalm 119:101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. It's trusting. It's trusting in the Lord. You're walking that way. I don't know, have you ever been on one of those rope bridges? I know that, you know, we'd get on them and we'd start bouncing around. There's always somebody going, holding on to their life, right? Some people don't like those rope bridges or whatever danger there is. So what do? You tell the person, just focus as long as you don't have some goofball jumping up and down on it, is look at the target, look at the end, keep walking one step at a time. Don't look down, don't look around, just look at your destination and keep your eyes focused on the other side. Well, for some of us, that's a good idea, but even more so, the eye is focused on the Lord. The Lord is trying to lead us, to show us the way, but again, where's our focus? Where's our eyes? Now, the reason why this is so important as we get into this is, again, how beautiful are your feet? So we trust in Him. We trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We walk in His steps. Job says, my foot has held fast to His steps. I have kept His way and not turned aside. Or, as Paul says in Colossians, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. For all of us, it's the importance of not only focusing on the destination, but realizing the one that walks with us is leading us, teaching us, showing us the way. But is our focus on Him too? Is our focus on letting Him, allowing Him to guide and direct us in the paths that He so chooses for us to walk, knowing that wherever we go, He shall be there by our side, that He will never leave us nor forsake us? Can we truly put our trust in Him? Because I'm asking you and myself to go in scary territory. To be open to what He's done in our lives. To share what He's done in our lives. It's awareness of our need. In Psalm 17:5 it says, uphold my steps in your path, that my footsteps may not slip. But wait a minute, if you do slip, is there something for that? Of course. Psalm 37:23 and 24 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, He delights in His way. Though he fall, he should not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. Or like it says in Psalm 94:18, if I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. We all say, Amen. See, He knows us. He knows that our frailty. He knows we're weak. We know we're like children that can stray from the path. But see, the best for us, what's good for us, what's beautiful for us, is again to watch our steps, to focus on Him, to focus on the destination. To realize that He wants to show us and teach us and guide us every day of our lives. But how many times do we quench that? How many times do we say no? Because of fear. Now, David says it this way, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit. Out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. So see, again, it's the manifestation of what God has done in my life that others may see. That we're all sinners. We've all struggled. We've all failed. Prior to Christ, whatever you were into, you understand the difference between what was in the darkness and now what's in the light. As simple as that. My wife puts it pretty simple. She just said, well, I just know before there was no peace, and then when I came to Christ, I had peace. That's what the gospel is, actually. Did you read all that? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. It's good news. Peace. It's really, if you will, what the angels were singing about to the shepherds Christmas Day. Peace and goodwill toward men. What? God was bringing peace. No more enmity between mankind and Him. He came in the flesh to take upon that which separated us, our sin, dying on the cross, freeing us from the oppression that comes in life, knowing that really the destination for all humanity is death and separation, body from soul and spirit from God. Now He's abolished that. You and I know that. We have the freedom, if you will, of knowing something. It's like if you've seen something like a movie before or a sporting event and you know the outcome. So when the guy is sitting there on the Empire State Building, I guess that's an old one, but still the Empire, a tall building, and he's on the ledge and he's about ready to fall and he loses his grip. And then you're watching it on TV and it goes to commercial. And now you're pacing back and forth. Maybe you don't do this, but pacing back and forth going, oh no, is he alive? Is he okay? And then it goes back and it's like, oh, he made it. I can't believe it. He fell, but wow, what an amazing thing. That balloon came by and he landed on the balloon. Who would have thought that? Something ridiculous, but he's safe now. Woo, yay! But when you know that, and the other person is going, oh no, what happened? You're just sitting back there going, that's going to be all right. Now you have the temptation whether to blow the story or not. Did you ever have anybody like that? Seen the movie? They let you know all the parts that was going to scare you? And you knew it was going to happen? Happened to me. Now this is old, but when Jaws first came out, some of you older people know, when Jaws came out, that was the movie to see. And I still remember sitting on the bed of my older brother, and all of us were sitting there, and he was telling us the movie. And for some reason, my brother had this way of being able to tell the story that you like right there. And he told me this one part where this head pops out, just the head that's severed, that pops out and floats up, and people freak out, right? And it's one of those scenes that everybody goes, in the audience. Well, I was sitting there knowing what was going to happen. So I'm going, okay, this is where the head pops out. And the head pops out. Everybody's freaking out. Ah! I'm just still sitting there. Now, trust me, I have to backstory this in one simple truth. I hated to be scared. Was not my thing. Did not like horror movies or anything. So I appreciated my brother telling me this was going to happen. Because I knew it was just going to pop out. And then instead of being freaked out, I was looking at it going, man, that really looks real. That was back in the day before digital. See, they used to do these things physically, that somehow they would be makeup artists and they would, I don't know, take a cantaloupe or something and make a head out of it. And so you'd sit there and stare at it going, wow, this really looks like a head. But it's not. See, that's the way it is for us in death. We already know what happens. See, he came out of the grave. He said, follow me, and I'll give you life. Everlasting. If you believe in me, you'll never die. And I love this. He said to Martha, do you believe this? See, if we got that down, then what are we afraid of? We're afraid of sharing some words in our country where it's not death yet. But still, see, it's the openness of just being able to share it. The openness of just the understanding that, Lord, I will go wherever you desire for me to go, even if it's to the grocery store. Help me now start looking at people with just a simple truth. Broken and unsaved. Broken, but mended and healed and saved. Oh, we still got cracks. That's good, though. How? Why? Because, see, the cracks, as we learn from Gideon's story, lets the light shine through. I'm able to share with others my cracks and the one who's healed me. The world so desires peace. In fact, the UN It says this. It says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's what they hope for. They also hope there'd be peace. Peace with themselves. See, a lot of this, if you will, we just celebrate, well, we didn't celebrate, excuse me. In June, there was a celebration of gay pride, right? And us, we understand that it's sin. But see, to them, what they're trying to do is have peace within themselves. And to have peace within themselves, they're trying to make everybody tell them they're okay. You know that, right? But see, the sad thing is that they don't realize that they're broken. And that they'll never have peace. Not within themselves. No matter how hard they try, they'll never gain that peace. Why? Because it takes something else. The greatest peace that one can have is the real peace of knowing Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. See, He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one, if you will, that took our sin upon Him. Bruised iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Peace. What does the enemy try to do? Steal your peace? Scare you? Cause fear? Doubt? Shame? His game is to take away your peace. He's a stealer, a thief, and a killer. He doesn't want you to rest in the peace. But if you notice something, that there's a word that's mentioned here. It's how beautiful are the feet. Well, I don't know about you. I do not have beautiful feet. I know that may come as a shock, but as a man that's been walking in on these feet for a long time and then abusing them, they're not pretty. They hurt. Sometimes almost in such a way that I have to limp. Not pretty feet. But see, the beauty really that comes out, but we need to understand, is that beauty really is in Him. See, in Psalm 96:9 says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. See, the beauty really comes out in Him displaying His majesty and honor and glory. Not in us, but through us. Why through us? Because of what He's done in us. Now you say, but wait a minute, you just said not in us. Because if we sit here and just dwell on what He did in us and not allow it to go through us, then there's like a Mozart in a closet somewhere that nobody is able to enjoy. I just realized something. Mozart doesn't have, well, he's got a CD out, I guess. A Van Gogh, let's do go that. A Van Gogh in a closet, nobody else is able to enjoy it because it's hidden. The beauty that God has done in us has to come through us to really reveal His majesty, His art. That you are an artwork of His. Displayed for all to see, not for your glory, not for your beauty, but for His. You are His masterpiece. You are His beautiful workmanship. You are the one, and so am I, that has the answer to what ails mankind. In fact, if you notice something, that Paul, when he says put on the armor of God, when he talks about your shoes, he says shod your feet with the gospel of peace. See, it's about where I walk represents and displays God's good news. How'd you come to faith? Who shared the gospel with you? Who told you about Jesus? Somebody did. Somebody shared the gospel with you. You had to hear it somewhere. Oh, maybe not right when you heard it, you didn't come to faith. Not at that moment, but it was a seed. You remembered. Somebody sparked it. Who is it? Who have you shared with? Just a simple message. I now have peace with God. If we have this mindset, we realize that our feet become beautiful only as it follows His path. Follows His steps. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the truth of Your Word. And Lord, for some of us, it terrifies us. Help us, Lord, to focus our attention on what You have done, what You are doing, and what You desire to do through us. Lord, knowing that if You lead us to a place to share what You have done in our lives, Lord, that You'll give us the words and You'll give us the courage to speak. Help us, Lord, to be men and women that are about Your business, about Your beauty, about Your truth, about Your good news message. Let it truly bring peace into other people's lives. But Lord, also we pray that peace would really be an anchor in our own souls. Let Your peace, Lord, really take control of our hearts and lives, resting in the fact that Your love for us is immeasurable. And that there's now no separation. That You, Lord, desire for us to live in Your peace. Help us, Lord, be ambassadors of Your peace and Your good news. And how beautiful Your feet were and are and really shall ever be. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.